Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. We had a great first hour of the show. This is the second hour. We talked about with Dr. Susan Love, the great Dr. Susan Love, her breast book. October, of course, is Breast Awareness Month. We're in October, and I just looked out. It was a gorgeous day, gorgeous sun, bright sun out. And all of a sudden, it looks like it's snowing, but I looked on, it's hail. I wonder what the conditions are that cause hail to form this suddenly and in this density. But it never matters. We're warm inside, and we have a lot of great medical information for you. We talked about how Americans seem stupid. That is, 16% of us who go abroad do it without checking whether we should have recommended vaccines. Then a number of us get sick. We pay for it in needing illness care, and all of us pay for their illness care, if you will. So if you're going abroad 2 months beforehand, the recommendation is check with your doc. Let's talk bones. Jumping and resistance in specific ways decrease fracture risk. We're going to get to that in that hour. And what makes beats unbeatable? That's right, they do beat high altitude symptoms, and we talked about that a little last week. I'm going to go into that right now as soon as I'm going to do it before I talk about the other things. Although Dr. Gary Ginsberg is coming at 18 after the hour, and talking about the questions that you sent in his mailbag. All you have to do to send a question in for either me or Dr. Gary is write in the subject line a question for Dr. Mike, a question for you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Send it to udocs, y-o-u-d-o-c-s at gmail.com. Or if you want to find the subject notes of the show and get on the list of what's coming up in the show, who the guest is, it is just put subscribe in the subject line. Dr. G's mailbag from Maryland. I need a new oven. Should I buy a self-cleaner? What's the risk of a self-cleaning oven? Why do they smell like they do after you use them? Lawyers calling Roundup into court over new cancer designation. That's, again, for Dr. Gary. Should you worry about old couches when you're pregnant? He must have something there. And new research shows the common drug Tylenol. We prescribe it all the time. We tell people to take it all the time. Even my wife. Worsens the toxicity of air pollution. What's that all about, Gary? We'll find out at 18 after the hour. But right now I want to talk about Let's Talk Bones. Jumping and resistance in specific ways decreases the fracture risk in older people. Now, you know that about 25% of men will have a bone fracture after age 65 in a hip. And about 40% of those men, that's a huge number, will never recover from it. Conversely, about 40% of women will have a bone fracture, and 15% will never recover from it. So the message is bone falling and bone fractures are a big deal. What makes your bones stronger? It is more calcium in the matrix. And number of stories, it isn't calcium that you take in your food that makes it stronger or in supplements. It is actually getting vitamin D and doing jumping and resistance exercise. How many jumps? It's 20 in the morning and 20 in the evening, 40 a day, seem to be a maximum. But so does resistance exercise. That is, this was a study that randomly allocated people to either aerobic exercise, that is things that increase their heart rate, such as exercising on an elliptical or a bike, or getting resistance exercise, core resistance, if you will. That is, doing lunges and squats and things like that. What happened? The people who did the core exercises, the resistance exercise, got stronger bones. The ones who did cardio got a little weaker bones. They don't have a control group, so it's probably they still had stronger bones than the ones who did nothing. But the resistance exercisers had the strongest bones. Also, even stronger than the resistance exercise was the ones who did the jumping jacks. So that's a key thing. By the way, I want to say, I listen to the ads every now and then on the shows. I try and prepare for the next segment, but sometimes you can't help overhearing the ads. And, you know, you want to be really proud of your advertisers. Well, even hotels, the one that features wellness activities and fitness trainers, love it. And so Bigelow Tea is also a great advertiser. So I thank both of them for sponsoring this show and having healthy products. The Even Hotels has a wellness mission, much like Delos Living does with their Stay Well rooms in Las Vegas. So I thank all of those sponsors. So resistance, doing core resistance exercise and jumping. Jumping beats resistance, which beats cardio, which beats nothing. What makes beats unbeatable is another story this week. And it was that they beat high altitude symptoms. I think I should talk to you really specifically about that because it is such an interesting story. This is when you go to high altitude, your blood vessels constrict and don't relax normally. How do you get blood flow to increase when you do exercise? Well, it's your blood vessels relax, and we've talked about that nitric oxide, that gas that's in the blood vessels, in the endothelial cells that you produce. It's why it takes a longer to warm up. That is why us old guys have to warm up, whether it's before sex or before exercise. That is, your blood vessels need to produce nitric oxide. When you're young, you have it there all the time, as well as producing additional. When you're old, that all the time there isn't there as much, and so you have to produce new stuff. And that's why the warm-up is longer. Well, when you go to high altitude, you somehow inhibit your blood vessels from forming nitric oxide, but not if you have beets. That is, having beet juice beforehand, or probably watermelon too, are things that increase the production of nitric oxide in your blood vessels. They're what you would be called natural ED drugs, that is, erectile dysfunction drugs, if you will, enhancing drugs in both men and women, should be the enhancing from, if you want, the nitrate and nitric oxide. Beets, just having beet juice does that. As does having watermelon. It increases the nitric oxide production. So why is this important for high altitude? Well, high altitude sickness, that is, getting the nausea, the vomiting, the dysphoria, the lack of feeling well when you're at high altitude, that all goes away when you have more nitric oxide. And as we said, beets and watermelon are the two fruits and veggies that are recommended for that, as they do increase your nitric oxide production. So blood vessels work better with nitric oxide. Another and this is a quick hitting story. This is almost a sad story. This is unrefrigerated caramel apples, and they looked at, because 35 people died of Listeria bacteria in 2004 from an outbreak, and they traced it to caramel flavored apples or caramel covered apples. And you say, why did that happen? It's because they weren't refrigerated, and apparently when you stick the stick in the caramel apple, it formed a little area where between the caramel and the apple itself, where you could have bacteria grow and prosper, but you not. So that's why apparently it happens. So caramel apples, make sure you refrigerate them and eat them the same day if at all possible. I'm going to go quickly to a real age tip of the week, because we wanted to get this one in, and this tip is one today's do.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, if you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com. Who says you have to be young to feel young? You can experience that exuberant energy in many stages of your life, but sometimes you may need a little help. If you're not feeling that kind of energy, it may not have anything to do with your age, but instead the production of testosterone in your body. Michael's Naturopathic Programs has a formula for that. Michael's Testosterone Factors contains the essential nutrients that support the production of testosterone naturally. This comprehensive formula is a combination of vitamins, amino acids, and select herbs that are ideal for proper male hormone production. Feel young again by getting the support you need with Testosterone Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find it at your local health food store, your favorite online retailers, or go to michaelshealth.com and check out our full line of naturopathic formulations for all your health needs. That's M-I-C-H-A-E-L-S health.com. Michael's Naturopathic Programs. Tried and truthful.
I'll never get used to these 10-mile runs. They are taking so much time out of my day.
Are you training for a marathon or something?
Diabetes runs in my family, and I heard if you lose lots of weight, you can prevent it. So I started running like crazy, and I cut my calories big time.
Oh, get real. You don't have to knock yourself out to prevent diabetes. My doctor said it's the small lifestyle changes you make that matter, because it's easier to stick to them.
Wow, really?
It worked for me. 6 months ago, I started walking a lot and I stopped eating the fried stuff. I've lost 10 pounds. My doctor said I'm doing great.
I'll have to ask my doctor about this. I'd love to get my life back.
Talk to your healthcare provider. Losing a small amount of weight by being active 30 minutes, 5 days a week, and eating healthier can prevent type 2 diabetes. To get your free game plan for preventing type 2 diabetes, call 1-800-438-5383. This is a message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the National Diabetes Education Program.
Notice when you have a baby, everyone seems to give you advice. From your mother-in-law,
don't you know you can't take that baby out in the rain today? And where is her hat?
To your own parents,
you should take the baby outside every day, even in the rain.
To your friends,
you have got to get this diaper cream. It is so much better than the one you've been using.
When it comes to the important stuff, like immunizations and protecting my baby's health, I trust my baby's doctor. She really listens to my questions about shots, she gives me great information, and she works with me to make sure my baby gets protected. And that's something even my mother-in-law can agree with.
Honey, I totally support you getting the baby vaccinated, but really, shouldn't you put the baby's hat back on?
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And Gary, this is such an interesting question because we have the guy who can answer it, and that's why I love the questions we get from readers. By the way, anyone listening to us, you can always email us at udocs@gmail.com for what I call the great Gary Ginsberg. Gary Ginsberg's website, whatstoxic.com. And our segment is What's Toxic, What's Not. Marilyn from Boston writes, I need a new oven. Should I buy a self-cleaner? I hear the self-cleaning options on ovens can take its toll. The higher temperatures have been known to cause my fuses to pop and control panels to burn out and maybe even start a fire. I'm worried about that. And popular commercial oven cleaners warn of inhaling fumes and possible eye and skin irritation. And then there's the unpleasant residual smell the next time you use the oven. Why should I expose myself to that? Why do I need to clean my oven? Can't it just exist as it is? And what kind of oven should I buy?
Thank you for the question, Marilyn, and hi, Mike. I actually have a very brief story about a big mistake I made with a self-cleaning oven when I was a grad student and was invited to a potluck dinner. Everybody had their food in the oven. I was like the last one. I shoved my casserole pan in the oven, and then I flipped the thing over and accidentally turned on the self-cleaning oven component. I ruined everybody's dinner. We had to wait for it to go through its entire cycle. All of our food got baked at 850 degrees, and the fumes in the house were terrible because I destroyed everybody's dinner by turning on the self-cleaning component. So don't invite Dr. G to your next potluck dinner because I don't really know how to operate a self-cleaning oven. But I'm always the kind that, you know, I pass over time. I'm there with the sprays and the green cleaners and letting it and the baking soda and letting it sit overnight and then scrubbing it out. If you don't get every morsel, you know, I don't think you're going to bear the wrath of the dirt god is going to come get you. So, but anyway, Marilyn, self-cleaning ovens at high temperature, they're baking about 850 degrees. It's a big energy. I think it's big energy waste, but I don't think it's a toxic problem, especially if you have the fan on in your kitchen while it's running. Maybe leave the house or leave that part of the house while it's running. You know, all you're doing is you're baking off some grease and maybe some tomato sauce. It's all going to turn into ashes inside the oven, which you could clean up with a sponge. If there are any fumes, you could open the windows, run some fans, stay out of that area for a little while. I don't think it's a big toxic risk. Sometimes some of the cleaning products are very aggressive that people use in ovens. That could be more of an issue. So, it's your call. I don't see it as a big risk. But you do want to make sure you get all the food, all the casserole dishes out of the oven before you do that, unlike what I did.
What about, Gary, the fire risk? That is, she said she popped some fuses, and she's worried about it burning out, causing her older wires.
Boston's got a lot of older houses. You never know about the wiring in some of those places. I guess this is a good way to test the wiring, is to run the self-cleaning oven and see if it pops the fuses. Modern-day electricity should be able to handle it, but this will test your system. And, yeah, that is a good reason to be home, just to make sure that if the electricity goes completely, you're there to see it. You shouldn't start a fire from that. I mean, if you blow a fuse, you blow a fuse, then you know that you've overdone the circuit and you might need an electrician, or maybe you shouldn't run that feature.
By the way, Gary, I've got a story on a potluck where I ruined all the dinners too, but a different way. So we'll talk about that maybe next time. Lawyers calling Roundup into court over a new cancer designation.
Yes. So World Health Organization in 2015 took a very close look at glyphosate, which trade name is Roundup, which a lot of people know of as GMO. And boy, GMO and Monsanto have really been getting hit over the head by everyone from Jesse Ventura to late-night talk show hosts. It's sort of in the crosshairs right now. And part of the reason why people are talking more about Roundup and Roundup Ready crops and GMO is because we're all exposed to the pesticide, the glyphosate, in Roundup Ready crops. The residue can find their way to your dinner table from the corn or whatever crop they're growing. And especially the growers, the sprayers, the people spraying the pesticide, it's an herbicide, will get exposed to it. And so this new designation by World Health Organization, very interesting, because a lot of the studies are old studies, and World Health Organization has just connected the dots in a different way. EPA has looked at it, other major governments have looked at it, state of California, other states in the country. Nobody's regulating glyphosate or Roundup as a carcinogen as of yet. However, IARC's decision and opinion is brand new, and the lawyers are now starting to round up plaintiffs who have been exposed for a long time or acutely exposed while they were backpack spraying or field spraying with Roundup. Some of the migrant workers may not speak a lot of English, may have been overexposed to glyphosate for years, and if they end up with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, that's the one signal that's coming out of the epidemiology that has a bit of consistency to it, is Roundup causing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Now, farmers tend to get non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and we don't know why. Is it their lifestyle? Is it the pesticides they're using? Which pesticides? You know, a farmer's not spraying just one thing, or these, the migrant workers. So it's a bit of an open question. But, Mike, the one sort of smoking gun that I have seen in my own review of the literature on Roundup is that they have used it in Ecuador and Colombia in these drug eradication programs where they spray, aerial spray with airplanes, crops that they're trying, the coca crops or the marijuana crops, trying to get rid of it, and these towns get sprayed. And there have been a couple of just cytogenetic studies of people living in those towns after the spray, more genetic damage. So that's the one sort of, the closest thing that I have to, that I've seen in the literature that's hard evidence that glyphosate may actually be producing some problem in exposed people that may be related to cancer. Whether these lawyers and plaintiffs have enough to stand up in court, I don't know what the judges will think, but it'll be interesting to follow.
Gary, the dose, we've actually got a question from a reader saying, is the dose in the Roundup that was sold for home use higher than that you see on fruit and other products, I guess corn and soybeans, I'll add to it because he didn't ask it, but was the dose in the Columbia flyovers higher, or in other words,
all right, so let's just, for simplicity and timeliness, let's talk about three scenarios. First scenario is eating GMO corn. The glyphosate levels will be the lowest of these three scenarios. Second scenario, homeowner use of herbicide. You could buy it at the store, or glyphosate could be mixed, as a spray, or glyphosate could be mixed in with, your seed treatment on your lawn. And that would be a middling amount of exposure, certainly higher potential exposure than what might be in your diet from eating, say, GMO corn. These flyovers in Ecuador and Colombia, that would be the highest level of exposure from what I can
Gary,
tell.
Gary, we've got too many good stories to still go. Can you hang on come back for another 5 minutes?
Yes, Mike. I'm all yours for 5 more minutes.
Great. So we'll have Gary Ginsberg talking about other things, such as should you worry about old couches when you're pregnant, and what's the date on Tylenol and air pollution. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, where we want you to take control of your health so you can live at the highest quality ever. And then Radio MD wants you to stay well. We'll be right back.
I'm here to tell you that Shelton's chickens and turkeys don't do drugs. Now, what does that mean? They're raised without the use of antibiotics or artificial growth stimulants. They're even allowed to walk around in the open space and sunshine, free to scratch at the ground and peck away at whatever takes their fancy. All of Shelton's natural poultry products are made with the finest natural ingredients available. They use no preservatives, flavor enhancers, modified starches, animal protein, or any artificial ingredients. In fact, their ingredient list reads more like home recipes instead of chemistry textbooks. From premium whole turkeys and chickens to chicken breasts and thighs, ground turkey, uncured chicken, Frank's canned chicken and chili, turkey burgers and meatballs, and the absolute best turkey jerky and sticks on the planet, Shelton's is your go-to poultry brand. If you want certified organic, you can have that too. Look for the Shelton's brand in your natural markets, or to search for one near you, go to Shelton's.com. Shelton's premium poultry is so good, your family will taste the healthy difference.
Whenever we talk about cancer, we always use the same word, someday. Someday there'll be a cure. Someday we won't lose the people we love. But when is someday? Someday is today. Thanks to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, hundreds of thousands diagnosed with blood cancer are today living a normal life. In the past 12 years, half the cancer therapies approved by the FDA were first approved for blood cancer patients, many with research supported by LLS. We are on the brink of life-changing breakthroughs. You can make these happen sooner. Call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. Help us make cures happen. Help us reach today sooner. Call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org.
It all started with a seed and a dream to grow sesame in the United States. Now, farmer Jimmy Kinder and others have thriving sesame fields in Oklahoma and other locations. Now, Harvest Stone is more passionate than ever about bringing you delicious and nutritious whole grain snacks. From our crispy organic bowl, original or cheese mixes, to our organic original sesame seed, tomato basil, and cracked pepper crackers, we're committed to using only the highest quality grains and seeds grown by farmers we know and trust, like Jimmy. After all, the best way to create snacks we feel good about is to start with ingredients we feel good about. Snack on something real. Check out HarvestStoneSnacks.com and be sure to request Harvest Stone products at a store near you. Harvest Stone has your snacking covered.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
RadioMD.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD. We've got Gary Ginsberg, the great Gary Ginsberg. What's Toxic.com was nice enough to call back. So, Gary, should we worry about old couches if you're pregnant?
Okay, so what's the connection between old couches and maybe some pregnancy risk? The flame retardants that used to be put in couches that have now been phased out in place of some newer, slightly less toxic flame retardants. But we know that the polybrominated diphenyl ethers, or the PBDEs, that they used to use heavily in things like couch cushions, are a worry for the thyroid. And this new study of 52 people, 52 Boston office workers from Boston University researchers, found a direct correlation between lower level of T4 or thyroid hormone for in relation to the higher their levels were, their share levels were of PBDEs. And so these office workers may have gotten their exposure from old couch cushions, may have gotten it from their diet, may have gotten it from other, from old laptops, because PBDs used to be in laptops and electronics. They're flame retardants to cut down on the fire risk. But the point is that during pregnancy, especially early in pregnancy, first trimester, when you might not even know how pregnant you are, that you are pregnant, the development of the fetal brain is exquisitely sensitive to how much thyroxine is available in the mother's system to go across the placenta to support the baby's brain growth. And so you don't want to have any goitrogens or any anti-thyroid chemicals. The lower the better. And it's known that old couches, especially if they got tears, rips, the stuffing is coming out a little bit, you don't want to have that around because the flame retardants are going to get out of the couch, get into your house dust, get into your indoor air more so than, I say, a nice new couch. So I would say if you're pregnant, you might want to splurge and get that new couch and try to get one that doesn't have any flame retardants, just as, all the other things you're doing to be kind to yourself and to that growing child inside of you, to take all the precautions. And, I wouldn't say it's essential. You might have other things you need to do first, like stop smoking or get your diet in order. But, I would put it on the list.
Gary, it's interesting because what you said is absolutely correct, that the key thing is before you get pregnant or early on in pregnancy, that thyroid hormone sensitivity of the newborn or of the fetus and developing child is so important. So it's almost like we had old couches, and I suppose if you're thinking about getting pregnant or potential of getting pregnant, you should get rid of your couches right away.
Yeah, especially if you've got one where the stuffing is coming out, I would section that one off to the basement or to the curb.
Now, there's another interesting story on toxicity. That is, actually, it relates to what you got your PhD in, Tylenol or acetaminophen, yep, and air pollution. Why would acetaminophen or Tylenol have anything to do with air pollution, Gary?
Okay, so this is a study in mice, and we know that at high doses, overdoses, Tylenol is toxic to the liver, and it causes, let's call it an oxidative stress. It decreases glutathione and, things that help your body send with oxidative stress. Now, some of the same enzymes that are in the liver that turn Tylenol into a monster at overdose and can wipe out the liver and cause lethality. And even at chronic high doses of Tylenol, there's some liver damage if you take a lot of it long enough. But the lung also has some of those activating enzymes. And it turns out in a study in mice that Tylenol at above therapeutic levels, but not that much above therapeutic doses, was able to deplete the oxidative defenses of the lung and increase the stress response from environmental tobacco smoke, this restrictive, constricting effect that ETS has on the lung. Tylenol made it worse. So I'm not saying that if you're asthmatic or whatever, you shouldn't take Tylenol, but you want to make sure that you're not taking more than the recommended amount. And if there's bad air pollution, we might get around at some point. It's not a recommendation yet. It's only one study. It's only in mice. But I think some follow-up epi would be really good in this area to see if we need to worry more about analgesics and bad air days. But right now, it's still just a research topic.
And by epi, you mean epidemiology?
Yes, studies of populations, yeah, rather than just mice. Although I have to say that the antidotes that we have for Tylenol overdose were developed in mice, and they work in people. So it's you know, not that crazy to think that mice are predictive of what's going to happen in people, especially with this chemical.
It's such an interesting topic because it really relates to what wouldn't be called a logical chain, although someone who knows the data might consider it a logical chain, since you knew that Tylenol affects liver synthesis of your, if you will, your recovery chemicals or your recovery properties that then get knocked out, and so you get worse air pollution effect because of that.
Yeah, and the other target organ for things like Tylenol is the kidney, but we always thought livers would be most sensitive. And now, you know, if you're asthmatic and you're in bad air pollution, the interaction of Tylenol in that mixture of circumstances, it's certainly worth follow-up study.
Gary Ginsberg, whatstoxic.com, great website. I always learn most from him. I'm going to go immediately to talk about the, we talked about the beets, but I want to talk about diverticulitis, and then we're going to get to two of our tips of the week. I didn't get to one in the first hour, so I'm going to try and do two in this hour. One, in fact, let's do one right now, and then we'll start the next segment with the diverticulitis story. There are two pieces of technology that are, I think, are central to your do-over. Namely, a pedometer and a quality pair of shoes. I suggest buying two pedometers. In case you lose one, there's no excuse for not to track your steps. My favorite is the Omron pedometer. I put them on the hip. They aren't recorded into my computer. They can be, but they're the most accurate. I like these high-quality and low-cost digital pedometers for accuracy. They're easy to set up and easy to use. I also like other devices, like the Fitbit, which tracks a lot of data, but I lost 9 and have given up on them. And Garmin is my new, you know, Fitbit sold, 7 million of them? Well, they don't have 7 million users, and the reason, I'm one of the reasons you keep losing them. Garmin is my new love. I've got it on my wrist right now. It is very accurate, correlates very well with the Omron. The Apple Watch, Jawbone, Microsoft all make nice wristband-style trackers that measure distance, steps, calories burned. But these latter two, three choices, require extra charging. I suggest you take some time to shop around, see what you like, what fits your best with your lifestyle, and what will keep you motivated. Some models even buzz for you to have if you're inactive for too long, a technological buddy, if you will. For starters, just simple but accurate count of steps is all you need to keep your true goal of 10,000 steps a day true to you. And that's the Real Age tip for the first hour. Buy two pedometers so you always have one on stock. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We're going to talk about diverticulitis is on the rise, and we have another tip of the day, if you will, and we'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Stay well.
The all-important family meal. Dinner just got happier and healthier. Why? Because kids are begging for crunchy, out-of-this-world, yummy, healthy veggie fries. Yep, they're healthy because they're made with real vegetables. You can choose from broccoli or carrot, chickpea and red pepper, or kale and Tuscan bean, or choose all four. Veggie fries are gluten-free, a good source of fiber, and an excellent source of vitamin A, C, and K. Plus, they're very low in sodium. Veggie fries are a parent's dream for their family. Hey, and parents love them too. So if you want to hear more veggies, please, at your dinner table, look for them in the freezer section of your favorite supermarket or natural food store. For more about veggie fries, please go to eatveggiefries.com. Veggie fries.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Suzanne Bennett. Are you truly fed up with that fat tummy? That growing muffin top which makes you feel bloated, sick, and tired all the time? then I have the answer for you. I am so ready to share my Flat Sexy Belly program so you can get rid of that swollen belly and at the same time feeling fabulous and energized the all-natural way. In my Flat Sexy Belly deep dive, you will heal your gut and at the same time lose weight, improve your energy, sharpen your mental focus, and even sleep deeper. Go to drsuzanne.com/FSB and enter promo code radio at the checkout for half off the program price. Again, that's drsuzanne.com/FSB and use the promo code radio. Get ready for the new you.
Great party, huh, guys?
Yeah, it is.
This is
so
great.
Much fun.
Uh-huh.
I do say so myself. Hey, did you know that birthday parties actually help build confidence in kids?
Yeah, I did know that.
Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Right, of course.
Yeah, I knew that. Did you know that strollers have the right of way on sidewalks?
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know that friendly kids statistically have more friends?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Obvious.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Think I knew that.
No, you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's illegal and dangerous for teens to drink any alcohol and then drive. Still, 1 in 10 high school teens drank and got behind the wheel of a car in 2011. If you're a parent, be aware that when teens drink, it's usually to get drunk. Teenagers can't legally buy alcohol, but many get it from their homes or the homes of their friends. Drinking and driving is never okay. Make sure your teenager has a safe way to get home in case they're out with a teen driver who's been drinking. Put this in a parent-teen driving agreement, which should also include wearing a seatbelt and following their state's graduated driver licensing laws every time they're behind the wheel. Find a sample at www.cdc.gov/parentsarethekey. Parents really are the key to safe teen driving. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Michael Roizen, MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD. We did have a tip at the end of last segment, and we will this segment as well. The second part of that, investing in your health. We wanted to talk about diverticulitis. 50% of people in the U.S. get diverticulitis, mostly over the age of 85. It has a number of symptoms, but the worst one is your bowel feels absolutely horrible. You end up with severe abdominal pain. If you rupture it, it can cause peritonitis, that is, an infection of your whole abdomen, and that's very common. So the point is that it seems that you can decrease the risk of this by having plenty of water and plenty of fiber in your diet. Parallel of not eating popcorn or things like that grow. It's true, no seeds, but nuts are fine. Nuts don't implode in that way. They get soft as they get wet, where seeds do grow and can obstruct these little outpouchings from your main intestinal tract. These are outpouchings that get obstructed, and then as they constrict, as they contract, you can rupture one of them and you have problems. So seeds, avoid those as you get older. Roughage and fiber, keep on it. Water and coffee, yeah. And especially nuts seem to be fine. message that we have on that is, so there is an increase. We don't know why the increase is. I'll bet I do know. It's the lousy choice of carbohydrate food and lack of fiber in our diet that we've been doing and investing in. In case you missed it, which is one of the segments on Dr. Oz's show where he reviews everything they've gone through in that show, just in case you missed it, I was on Dr. Oz. We taped it. We found a new use for diet soda and regular soda. It's not you consuming it, but you using it in another way. He's got a new segment, a truth or fail. That is, does something work, fact or fail? Does it work? And so it's internet type things. So does parsley help cure bad breath? I was involved in a new use for Diet Coke. Does it work? Or regular Coke? As well as a whole bunch of other things that do work for bad breath. And by the way, onions really do increase the bad breath quotient. Those sulfas increase the amount of stinkiness in your breath. So it really is an onion. I love eating onions, but I guess I'm going to have to do better with onions in the future. Where did we talk about, in case you missed it, many Americans go abroad without getting the recommended vaccines that exposes them to the new diseases, and those childhood diseases like MMR, 16% of people who go abroad should have gotten MMR that didn't. And that brings measles, mumps, and rubella back, and when you get it as an adult, you're much sicker. So 2 months before you go abroad, check with your doc and see what immunizations you should get. Bones, jumping, and resistance, and vitamin D seem to increase bone mineral density. Calcium in supplements didn't, and in food didn't, unless you were at a young age. But in old age, it doesn't. Beets help you get your arteries to work better and seem to beat the high altitude symptoms. I'm going to tell my friend John, who's got those. Diverticulitis on the rise. Breast cancer, yeah, get a mammogram until 5 to 10 years before you would project you would otherwise die. If you don't have a chronic disease, get a mammogram. Who should get the other things? Well, we know that physical activity, getting thin, and avoiding saturated and trans fat seems to be helpful at preventing it. Gary Ginsberg said a self-cleaning oven is a risk if you've got old electric power or old electric wires. He doesn't know whether the data on Roundup being a carcinogen and increasing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma will hold up in court, but in any case, avoid Roundup yourself in concentrated form, as it is associated with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Should you worry about your old couches? Yeah, the fire retardant. If you're getting pregnant or thinking about getting pregnant, avoid an old couch, so it's time to invest in a new couch. And new research suggests that the common drug Tylenol causes liver dysfunction, which worsens air pollution toxicity and its effects on your body. Now let's cover the do-over tip. Invest in your health with quality shoes. If you're going to up your walking to 10,000 steps a day, and I do it, you need a pair of shoes that provides the support you need. Try walking in ratty old shoes with no support and you're asking for injury. I recommend that you go to a specialty or walking or running store that can help you find a shoe that's not only comfortable, but fits your foot and gait well. Shop in the late afternoon after you've been on your feet for a good part of the day. Your feet swell then, and that's when you want to have your shoes fitted. By the way, the key component is just what I said, comfort. With so many choices, not just in style and color, but also in function, it helps to have a pro work with you, but it turns out it is comfort, comfort, comfort that determines whether the shoe will last on you and, as well, will help you get your 10,000 steps a day. So comfort. I need a new pair every 3 months, but the expenses on the front end of prevention are much easier to manage than the expenses on the back end of treatment. So the message? Buy a new pair of shoes if you're going to get your 10,000 steps a day. And remember, two pedometers, so you're never without one. That was in the first segment. Let me go through some of the other things we covered today. A urine test can help diagnose TB and is a very sensitive and inexpensive marker of tuberculosis still existing in the body. It may be one of the things we then screen for, since tuberculosis can be at a low level and cause you exhaustion and other things. Personal trainers, what's the best city to be a personal trainer in? This is an interesting story. Where do you think it is? Well, it turns out that the best city to be a personal trainer in is... Should we get a drum roll, please? This is a story contributed by our producer, Donna. And Donna, the best city was... Oh, don't tell me I don't have it here. Yes, it is Miami. Washington and St. Louis are the top cities. And I don't know which one was the top. In any case, thanks for listening to us today. We'll be back next week with a new guest, new show. And by the way, if you didn't hear Susan Love and you are a woman, listen to Susan Love and her breast book, Dr. Susan Love's research.org. Stay well.